Welcome to Grace Break Radio, where your host, Tracy Worley, that's me, brings a bit of grace, mercy, and courage to your day. Join us today for an infusion of God-inspired thoughts, questions, and laughter along the way. And as always, I'm excited for Monday because I get to spend it with you. And everyone, this is Tracy Worley, and today we have Callie Gilbert from Southern California. And Callie is a transformational author, award-winning photographer, and social entrepreneur. As the creator of It's Simply book series, Callie has published several books of her own and now serves other writers through her company, Serendipity Publishing House. Callie holds a master's in sports management and has traveled the globe as a former figure skater and magazine publisher. A resident of Santa Monica, California, no longer, and we'll get to that, Callie enjoys serving her community, especially women in transition, in youth programs. And on the website, you'll have direct information on how to get a hold of Callie. Callie, again, thank you so much for being on Grace Break this morning, and I look forward to sharing your story with our listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
So we're just going to dive right into some of the first questions. So you're no longer in Santa Monica. You recently moved to Southern California in L.A.
Well, I'm in Santa Monica. I used to be
Sausalito. Okay.
I used to be in Sausalito, California, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Got it.
So now I'm in Santa Monica, yeah.
You are in
LA.
Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. Okay.
For
whatever reason, I just want you to be in L.A. I don't know. Maybe I need to pray about that.
L.A. is, Santa Monica is L.A. It's just the beaches.
Kind of like Montana. Everybody knows everybody in Montana, but we don't. So.
Exactly.
You have a background in event management, and this is where you went, but I want to start with the excitement as your career, and you started moving in and out of your purpose and your gifts. A figure skater, you worked at the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. So tell us a little bit about that and how that those experiences moved you into the thought process of writing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a former figure skater, 12 years. I actually grew up in Toronto, Canada, and skated in southern Ontario. And, you know, being an Olympic champion was always my dream when I was a child, although I never made it. But I did make it to the Games in Salt Lake City and had the opportunity to work with the Canadian Olympic Committee at Canada House, which is the, I guess you could say, the athletes' village and for the Canadian team. And I was able to take my skills as an event manager and event planning and fundraising and hospitality and support them during the Games in Salt Lake, which was an amazing experience because even though I didn't compete, I had friends that were competing in both figure skating and hockey, ice hockey. And so I was able to really be there to support them and support the team, and it was an amazing experience, one I'll never forget.
Awesome. And then you went from there and went into an event management on the East Coast.
Yeah, I actually, from my skating career, actually went into writing. I actually had a journalism background and published my first newsletter and then figure skating magazine. And from there, it really turned into the event management. I, through my friends who were fellow skaters, partnered up with them through different charities that they were working with and supported those charities with fundraising events, and that's really how the event management started my career.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I really loved working with the nonprofit sector. And when I went to undergrad after my skating career, I decided to go back to school. I studied sport management, but the focus was on the event management. And before I graduated with my undergrad in New York, I was actually offered a position as the director of special events with Boys and Girls Clubs in New York. And that was really my dream job. It was everything that, you know, my passion, and I loved it. But my heart was in California, and I knew that, you know, eventually I would come out to the West Coast and was hoping to basically do the same job out here.
And then we jump forward, and you ended up on the West Coast. And the book unfolds from here. And for our listeners, the book we're talking about is It's Simply Serendipity. It's your personal story. You've published 6 books, but this is the one that's officially coming out tomorrow, July 1st. You've had a soft launch, and it's already hit an amazing number on Amazon. So share with our audience where you've already hit on Amazon and where they can find you.
It's been incredible. I actually had the official LA launch party here on Saturday, and so we did a soft launch last week, and, you know, we figured, well, we'll try to at least get it on to the bestseller list at some point, because get on the first, you know, top 100 and you're a bestseller. And on Wednesday, which was the first day of the launch, it actually hit number 2, and which was a dream come true. It was like, okay, whoa. You know, wasn't quite expecting that, but very exciting. And so tomorrow is the official online launch. We launch worldwide tomorrow in really hoping to make it number 1 across the globe.
And that's amazing. And congratulations.
Thank you.
The parameters to hit any number of significance, especially in the Amazon world, is amazing. So congratulations again.
Thanks so much.
So we're going to now transition into the book and talk about the strong faith, reality that we don't ask for, but it's our attitude that we learn from life's experiences, for sure. And part of your story is, you know, love gained, love lost, and also being homeless.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I tell people, I say, you know, 2011 was really the worst and the best year of my life, because I literally lost everything. And I started off miscarrying a child. My car died. My money ran out. You know, I lost a relationship, and I lost my home. And it was like, okay, you know, and I can laugh at it now, because I remember there's actually a chapter in my book called Life Detox.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, saying, you know, what I really need to do is get rid of everything in my life that no longer serves my higher purpose. And what I meant by that was, you know, just, you know, toxic relationships and beliefs and, you know, things that just really weren't serving me. And I guess the universe took it as, well, let's just get rid of everything, you know. And it's like, whoa, I should have probably been a bit clearer, you know, when I was asking for that. But in reality, though, it was the best thing that happened, because, you know, I really believe that 2011 taught me how to be my authentic self, how to be me at the core, and also taught me what my life purpose is, which, you know, my passions are writing and photography. And I realized, you know, that even though event management was my expertise, it wasn't what I truly loved. And so I started to focus on the writing and the photography, and the moment I did that, everything shifted, and it was amazing, because I had no idea where things were going. Those two passions were hobbies to me growing up, and it wasn't something that I'd ever considered being a career. And so really it was a leap of faith, a total leap of faith, to see where life would take me if I would, you know, focus on those two things, which I did.
And I talk about authentic self often, and we just finished a series last 2 Mondays. We've gone through an authentic self program, and through prayer and following God's guidance, this is where we're at. And most of the time, where our heart sings is in our hobby, and we consider them hobby because Western society we think, no, I have to have a career that pays hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, and be in some type of a business suit, when at the end of the day, our gifts are already set right before us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's so true, you know, and I grew up with the same mentality, you know. It was, you go to college, you get the good job, you know, and it was so natural to, when I was offered that, you know, top position, you know, right out of undergrad, to take it. It was the title. It was everything, you know, and it was like, okay, I'll do it, you know. And even though I loved the job, it wasn't, you know, it didn't make my heart sing, you know, which is what I tell people. I'm like, you really, what makes your heart sing? What is it that you love so much that you would do without pay, you know? And for me, it's writing and pictures, you know, and I love that. And the irony of it all, though, is I have now 3, you know, college degrees. And what I'm able to do with it is now start my own company, where I'm taking the management skills that I learned, you know, and applying them to my passions so that I could start my own publishing company and support others in doing the same thing.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And you touched on cleaning everything out that no longer served me or no longer will serve, where you know that you're being God-led into your purpose and your gift. And I want to encourage, and this is honestly one of the hardest things, especially for women, the law of sacrifice of letting go of things and people and places that no longer serve.
Yes.
So we are at that authentic core. And you do talk about this in the book a little bit. Can you give our listeners 1 or 2 tips on identifying, you know, things, people, and places no longer serving you?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and actually those things really hit recent. In last year, I went through another bout of massive transformation. And I had found myself in a relationship that in the beginning seemed very nice. It was very beautiful, very loving friendship, and that turned to more. But what I found, though, was with this person, I couldn't be my authentic self. And I found myself losing myself in this person. And that's when I knew, I said, okay, something is not right here. I've worked so hard to get to this point. And now I'm not able to shine my light and just be who I am. And it seemed, you know, I knew I needed to get away from that. And I think it was tough because I really love this person. And even though I knew, you know, that it was toxic, you know, so it was a very difficult decision. And the decision was really made for me. I came down to Southern California in October of last year. And I remember vividly sitting on the beach and praying and saying, I need to get over this, because I need to move forward. And just literally looked up at the sky and said, help me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, it was unbelievable, really within, you know, moments. I met someone new who is unbelievable and who loves me unconditionally and makes me feel that I can be who I truly am at every moment of every day, and it's so beautiful. And I just remember going, wow, you know, that was quick. You know?
That was fast.
That was fast, you know?
We have to be very open to that transition because what we do pray for can and is presented. Sometimes it's not what we think it should be, so we walk away and it keeps coming back. And it's like, oh, I might as well pick this gift up because we can't identify that prayers are answered that quickly.
Yeah.
But also that be careful what you pray for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the thing was, though, is, you know, when I moved to Sausalito to the San Francisco Bay Area, it was to die there. I had no intention of ever leaving.
Mm.
And I can't even tell you how many times I said I would never live in L.A., so I laugh now because I'm so happy here. You know? But, and that was the thing, though, is when I decided to move, it was a couple days before I met this guy. And I said, okay, I didn't understand why I was deciding to move, but I knew deep in my soul that it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I arrived here the first day, and I was like, okay, I'm here. Now what? Leave me where you may. And it's just been a magical experience ever since I arrived. I'm totally in alignment with my purpose and my passions. It's really incredible to see.
Wonderful. It's when we talked about be careful what you pray for, it reminds me of Emerson's quote, energy flows where your attention goes.
Yes.
So when we're praying for things we don't want, that's where our energy is going. So be aware of what we are praying for as
exactly.
Well. And with that, where you have transitioned and where you are so gifted and continually seeing the beauty in everything and everyone around you, and what's hard to believe, and this didn't happen 10 years ago. This wasn't 20 years ago. This is a raw story because this happened in 2011. 2013 was another transition of being homeless. And I would love for you to share with our listeners what that meant to you.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Living out of a suitcase.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, the first time, it's interesting you ask, because the first time it was complete survival mode. It was, I was a victim, you know, and I questioned everything. Okay, it's like, I have an MBA. Why is this happening to me, you know, and just did not understand what was going on at all. And then really came to the realization one day I was walking down the road one morning. I managed to scrape up enough money to go to yoga once a week because I was like, I just need an hour.
Which is amazing, by the way. I'm reading this book and I'm thinking, how did that girl go to yoga?
I was like, I just needed my 1 hour, you know, peace, you know. And I remember one day walking down to go to yoga and really questioning, why is this happening to me? Why? And it was all of a sudden like this light bulb went off and, you know, said, Callie, you know, you want to go out and you want to serve others, especially kids and people in transition and all these things, and yet you haven't suffered a day in your life. You're a former athlete. You've published a magazine. You've traveled all over the world. You've done these amazing things. How can you possibly relate to anyone who is suffering if you haven't suffered yourself? And at that moment, it was like, okay, I understand. Bring it on. Whatever you're going to give me, I'll deal with it. And I think that perspective really got me through that first time around. And then last year was interesting because that was completely, you know, didn't see coming. And I had injured my back at the end of 2012. And ended up with two bulging discs and sciatica and just craziness. And couldn't work. I could barely move. And so ended up losing my job, losing my home. But this time around, I said, you know what? We've gone through this. Okay, we haven't been in this much pain, but we've gone through this. We survived. We can get through this again. So we're just going to look at it from a completely different perspective. And that was, I'm not in a, you know, survival mode, oh, my God, I'm homeless. I'm on an adventure, and where is life going to take me this week? That was my mentality. And so for 8 months of not having a home, it actually turned into an adventure because I was connecting with people who came into my life who were like, well, I'm going away to Europe for 5 weeks. Can you house sit my place on Knob Hill? I was still in the Bay. And, you know, I'm selling my house and we're in escrow for a month. Can you house it? And so I would end up at these amazing places, you know, month after month after month, all because I shifted my perspective. So it was pretty incredible. And I said, you know, all you have to do is just look at it from a different view. And it makes all the difference in the world.
And this is where grace comes in, and we have to allow ourselves to be in the moment.
Absolutely.
And then choose choose the attitude. And for that transition, you know, from survival mode, being the victim and asking, why is this happening to me, to the transition of today's another adventure.
Yeah.
And I'm going to embrace whatever is brought to me.
Mm-hmm.
And life is uncertain. Things happen we didn't ask for. You know, on our way to work, someone may rear-end us. We didn't ask for it, but we can certainly choose the attitude. And as you stated, the shift in perspective in where life is serendipitous.
Absolutely.
And I love where serendipity came from. Can you share with us serendipity?
Yes, absolutely. I truly believe, you know, people are not familiar with the word. I see it as a fortunate accident. You know, it's really a seeing, you know, people and situations and opportunities and everything just coming into alignment to serve our greater purpose. That's how I view serendipity. And in my life, I've always believed it was a part of my life, but growing up, you know, things would happen and somewhere down the road, I would see how it was all tied together, all aligned. Whereas now, things happen, and I see it and I feel it as it's happening in the moment. And it's an incredible, incredible shift to be able to live that way, you know. And just in the last month, you know, like I said, ever since arriving in LA, it's been complete alignment. But the last month of my life has been like full throttle ahead. It was like my big, big dreams of, you know, having my mentor endorse my book, having, you know, being able to write for the Huffington Post, you know, speaking at a global women's summit, you know, now being a best-selling author. I mean, all these things, this just happened in the last month, and it's incredible to see. And it's like, whoa, it's like, okay. And it's interesting, too. I posted a question on my Facebook fan page this morning. I said, what do you do when all your dreams start coming true? You know, because I'm now looking at this going, all right, well, you know, there's dreams that, you know, years ago I thought would be amazing, but I kind of pushed them aside because I didn't really see how they would be possible. Mm-hmm. And now I'm kind of dusting them off and saying, why not? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's incredible.
I've been able to read the book. And so for our audience, I did get to peek at it. And then listening to your story in person on the, you know, over the airwaves here is life-giving. And I want to go back and just pull that focus because Western society, again, when we achieve success, 90% and higher of people pull away because we don't know what it is.
Exactly.
Or we pull away because if I'm successful, people won't be my friend anymore, or because we, you know, we're wanting to pull everybody back into average.
Yeah.
And this is where I want to encourage everybody to, you're gleaning success and no one else is celebrating you, go ahead and shake your own pom-poms. Because it's pretty darn cool.
Absolutely.
And I think we skipped over this a little bit, too, because we talked about the choice of being an adventurer or being the victim and the choice for you to choose those attitudes and to still continually be in prayerful meditation with God to receive the answer you have not suffered a day in your life.
Absolutely.
You were living in hospitals. I mean, so I want our listeners to know you were homeless. You were living out of a suitcase.
I was. I mean, yeah, and try living out of a suitcase when you've got two bulging discs in your back, you know, and I'm like, okay, lugging this thing is not good. I know that, you know. But
right.
I was, you know, but I asked for help, you know, when I was in the hospitals. I was like, I can't lift this suitcase. Can you please help me? And everyone was like, absolutely, you know. And that's the thing. You can't be afraid to ask for help. And I think that was also very crucial in my journey because I grew up very independent. You know, I traveled all around the world. I did so much by myself. So asking for help was very difficult until I knew that I had no other choice. And I think, and I also think that another crucial, crucial step, which I still do today, and it's a part of my life now, is just being in gratitude. You know, I wake up every single morning, and the very first thing I do is I have a gratitude session. And I lay in bed, and the very first thing I say is, thank you for allowing me to wake up to see another beautiful day here in L.A. or wherever I am, you know. And I'm grateful for my breath and for the simplest things, because believe me, when you're homeless, there's only two things on your mind, and that is, where am I going to sleep and what am I going to eat? That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else matters, you know. And so, you know, grateful for the bed. I can't tell you how happy I was to lay on my own bed for the first time after 8 months, you know. And it's like, and I love my bed, you know. And it was just like, oh, my God. So, yeah, and that's so important. And like I said, that's the very first thing I do every single day, is just be grateful for what I have, because I know that at any second it can be taken away. And it's just a matter of really living in the present moment and truly appreciating what we have.
And that's where life takes us. We're in peaks and valleys. And in the peaks, it's really easy to just like, yep, I'm top of the world. And we don't think about gratitude until we're in the valley. And then that, you know, usually the first flesh instinct is to like, oh, my gosh, why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong? And we cannot see gratitude in anything. So journaling is a great way to do it. What's one thing that you're grateful for today? And if it's a warm cup of coffee, write it down.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is the simplest of things, you know. And I think the journey really shifted my perspective in just the way that I live. You know, it really put things into very simple terms. And I love that, because it's like, you know, people are like, oh, well, you got to make all this money. And I'm like, well, you know, I wake up every day, I write, I go to the beach, I sit there and I create. And that's really all, I'm surrounded by grief. That's all I need. You know,
right.
I'm happy. You know, they can't understand. They're like, well, and I'm like, I don't really need much to make me happy.
And you have made me happy today. This has been a great conversation. Before we leave, we've got a few more minutes, 30 minutes. The show always goes by way too fast. What are you currently working on?
Sure. So a couple things. I started my own publishing company, so now I support other writers in becoming published authors. I've published my first client's book in February, and another one is due to come out in another month or so. And I'm also working on two books of my own. I'm doing the follow-up to the Serendipity book, so the second book in the series, and writing my first novel as well, which is coming out next summer, hopefully.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you give us a sneak peek on the novel?
Yeah, the novel is actually very exciting, and that's a whole other, you know, let go type of thing, too, because the novel's called It's Simply Tuesday in Paris. I had initially planned to release it last year, and then 2013 happened, you know, and then I thought I'll release it in 2014. Well, I was ready to release it this year, and then got to a point where everything stalled, and one day I literally had to ask myself, okay, what's happening here? Why isn't this, you know, moving forward? And just realized that it wasn't in true alignment with my purpose, which is serving women in transition and other writers, and my last two books are the Serendipity book, and I published a published book as well. And so I actually let go of that project for now. It's kind of on the back burner, but it's still there. And so hopefully next summer it'll come out.
Excellent. As always, our time goes by so quickly. Callie Gilbert, Serendipity. It's simply Serendipity. I love the word serendipity. I think I would be skipping to it all day. To find out more about Callie and her book, go to CallieGilbert.com. That's C-A-L-I, Gilbert, G-I-L-B-E-R-T.com. Or go to Amazon and plug in her author name and find her books there as well. And Callie is on Facebook, Twitter, www.gracebreakin.com or go to gracebreak.com, and we'll have all of Callie's contact information there as well. Thank you again, Callie.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Look up and out, my friends. This is Tracy Worley.